Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend Daryl Baker, pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship. Pastor Baker is fulfilling the call of God on his life to preach the Word of God without compromise, raising up disciples who, through faith in God, will have a powerful impact on our world. May you be blessed through the message that Pastor Baker has to share with you today. May God's very best be yours.
I want to go back to pastors I predict for a moment, touch on a couple of these that we did not look at this morning. We looked at a bunch of them this morning, but I want to touch on a couple real quick that we're just going to read through, and then we'll focus on two primary ones that we're going to wrap up with tonight in what I know God wants us to pray about for the new year. Number three, we looked at one and two this morning. Number three, the true ministers of the gospel will be crying out to all to repent, both inside and outside the church. Because there are people in the church that need to make some adjustments. Repentance is exactly that. You're making adjustments to turn things around in your life that need to be turned around. So the true ministers, those who truly are speaking for God, they are going to continue to declare and hearken to those inside and outside the church to repent. Number four, the truth bearers, say truth bearers, will be rewarded. But the milquetoast voices and people pleasers will pay a dear price. Drop down to number 10. God has already dispatched specialty weapons against evil. Read that again. God has already dispatched specialty weapons, against evil. Evil can't win. Say it.
Evil can't win.
Shout it at me.
Evil can't win.
Angels are uprooting everything the devil has done. Pillars of evil are coming down. Some will even report angelic sightings. Now, that's kind of twofold, both specifically to God's assignment for them in the last day, but also believers. Because as we pray and declare the word of the Lord, they hearken to the voice of God's word. So we have a part to play in that as well. Amen?
Amen.
On the next page, on the back side here, we're going to focus on number 14. We're going to look at one other one on the back here, number 27. But these are the two key things going into 2022 I really want us to talk about. Number 14, our duty now is to climax the ages. You know, I can't emphasize enough how close we are to the return of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, how close is that, Pastor? Nobody really knows, but reality is you're closer than you've ever been. We must reach all people of the earth. We must reach all people of the earth, including our family members and friends, with the biblical warnings about the end. Now, I can tell you, talking to pastor about this, this is primarily referring to the lost who don't know Jesus and those who may have turned away who need to be warned and awakened and turned back to God. But understand that the primary target for our life is not believers. We read about this morning again on number 8. People are going to continue to leave the church. So do we get caught up with people leaving the church? No. Because it's part of the prophesied falling away. You can't stop it. So our goal isn't to try to keep everybody from leaving the church. Wish we could. But the reality is there's people still going to leave the church because the falling away is going to occur. 14 is our focus. Our duty is to now climax the ages. By doing what? Proclaiming the gospel. Winning the lost. I mentioned it this morning. I'll mention it again. Because I know Rick and somebody else even asked me recently about the growth of the church, and I think it's a good question. You know, why is the church not growing? Most churches as a whole that preach the truth aren't growing.
Right.
And I've talked to Pastor about this many times. He said, we're seeing a trickle here and there of some people, but we're not growing. Because true growth, if you define it biblically, is based on what happened in the book of Acts. What's true church growth? It's not swapping people. So I kind of mentioned that this morning, that, you know, just swapping people from church to church ain't church growth. If they left somebody else's church that actually may have been preaching the truth that they didn't like, eventually got tired of, they're going to eventually leave here. So you got to understand the goal of church growth. How does church growth occur? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to answer it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. To climax the ages, we need to be focused on and reminded of what our part is in doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? Notice that statement. He's writing to the Corinthians. Who birthed the Corinthian church? Paul did. When I say he birthed it, God was the first one to send him there to preach the gospel. Who then is Paul? Guess who else helped him? Apollos. Who is Apollos? What are they? Ministers. Now don't take that word to just mean fivefold. The word ministers means servants. To serve. We're servants through whom you what? What did they do? They believe. What's that mean? They were born again. They believed the gospel. They received the gospel. So that was clear that they were not believers. Were they?
No.
Nope. They became believers through hearing Paul and Apollos. So who is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. Verse 6, I planted, circle, highlight, or underline this verse. This is your 2022 verse and beyond till the return of Jesus. I planted, Apollos watered. We're servants. I planted, Apollos watered. Underline it, but God gave the increase. When true church growth occurs, what happens? People get born again. When you lead people, we have a new family in our church. I kept planting. I kept watering. I led them to the Lord. I encouraged them to come to church. I began to speak to them about coming to church. They started showing up to church. Now they're coming to church. Now they're connected with many of you. That's how church growth occurs. Church growth occurs by winning the lost. So back to my Barclay conversation. Why are churches not growing, Pastor? Because we're not planting and we're not watering. There's no increase without planting and watering. Your part's not increase. And when we were at Straight Talk this year again, Pastor brought it up again. He said, I'm going to remind all you ministers, you're not responsible for growing your church. If you think you can grow your church, you've taken the place of God. I'm not saying there might not be some things, if you're not doing what you should be doing as a ministry to teach the Bible and help people be discipled and grow and stuff, obviously. But his point was, you don't give the increase. God does.
Amen.
You plant. You water. Now, if you're obedient to plant and water, then you give God the opportunity to give increase.
Amen.
Who's responsible for church growth? You could say, well, we are. If we're supposed to plant water, we have our part to play. But the growth, the increase comes from God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What's our part? Planting, watering. How serious are you about that?
Amen.
See, we got to get really serious in the day we live in about doing what? About climaxing the ages. You know one of the biggest reasons Jesus hasn't come back yet? I mean, God has a timetable clearly set up, but you know why? There's still people he wants born again. There's still people he wants to come into the kingdom so they're ready when the rapture occurs. He don't want them to leave them behind. Right? It's one of the primary reasons Brother Hagin said why he hasn't come, because there's people that still need to come into the kingdom. If there's people that still need to come in the kingdom, we haven't done our work. We haven't finished doing our work yet. My challenge to us tonight is, are we planting and watering?
Amen.
14, our duty is now to climax the ages. How do you do that? Planting and watering. And God gives the increase. 7, so then he who plants, that'd be me and you, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. See, we're not the one that makes that happen. But God, who does what again?
Gives
the increase. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are what?
One.
We're all one together doing the same job. Each one will receive his what? Own reward according to his own labor. We'll get rewarded for it in heaven. 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building. So I think it's a good question. Why is the church not growing? Answer, we're not planting. We're not watering. Because the amazing thing is, most people that stay connected to a church are people you get born again. Most people that stay connected to a church are people you get born again. I can look back, we're coming up on the start of 32 years as a church, this Easter. I can look back, and many times I do, at those 32 years. Both to kind of examine things that maybe I needed to correct or do differently, but also things that have happened. I think about all the people over those years that came through our church. I'm going to tell you that probably 90 to 95% of those people were already born again. We didn't lead them to the Lord. They already knew Jesus. We weren't, at the time we birthed our church, 1990, I mean, basically, the last real move of God, the Jesus movement, was ended about 1988, 89, where you really saw a move of God in the early 80s into the late 80s, where God was moving, known as the Jesus movement. I agree with what I recently heard. I think it was T.L. Osborne. I may be wrong, so I don't want to make a wrong statement, but a great man of God said, you know, the biggest mistake the church made in the 70s and 80s is when God started moving in our churches, it didn't motivate us to go witness. It just motivated us to come to church more and enjoy church more. Nothing wrong with coming to church more. Enjoying church more. But what should a move of God motivate you to do? Go get others born again. Bring them into that move of God. And they said, that's why if you look at a lot of those, you're talking some really big churches that were birthed back then. You can't even find them today. They're not around anymore. But you know why? Because most of those churches, they built their church off of taking people from other churches. Are you listening? So it wasn't real church growth. It was just swapping people. It was convincing people, we got a better move of God over here than they do. Come over here. And if you spent the money and hired the singers and had the best worship in town, everybody's going to leave everybody else's church and come to yours. But that's not why you find a church. Jesus didn't even have a worship team. Well, what do you do when you don't have a worship leader? Well, then you're like Jesus, because Jesus didn't have one. He didn't have children's ministries.
No.
I love children's ministries. I think we have some of the best there are. But Jesus didn't even have that.
Right.
But he still accomplished God's work.
Amen.
So my point is, we got to get beyond all the focus of all that stuff and just focus on what the Bible said.
Yeah.
We're to climax the ages. How do we do that? Planting, watering. My goal in this year and to the end of the age is to do everything I can to plant and water and let God give the increase.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
But if God, through me, like Paul, wins somebody to the Lord, I'm not going to... Now, this is where Billy Graham was so smart. Billy Graham knew he's an evangelist. I got to get these people in a church where they can get connected and grow up and be matured.
Amen.
They would go in weeks ahead of a campaign, and they would connect with all the churches in the area, have meetings with them. And the pastors that want to be involved with their meetings, they would get cards, names from everybody in the meetings that would get born again. They would distribute those cards based on where people live to those churches. Then those churches were responsible to follow up and go make sure those people came to church. If you birth a baby, any ladies in here birthed a baby before? If you birth a baby, excuse me, you don't go leave them at the hospital and say, they'll find their way home. Right? Well, you don't birth a baby Christian. You don't see a baby Christian get born again and just expect them to show up at church. You disciple them. You encourage them. You go get them if you have to. But you get them to God's house. Beyond the beyond the planting and watering is the discipling. Because once they're born again, we all have a responsibility to take people along our side to be a strength to them, an encouragement to them, to help disciple them. I'm not talking about be their pastor.
Right.
But to learn what you've learned.
Amen.
To grow in what you know.
Yes.
So this is our call of the last day.
Yes.
If the church as a whole in context of the body of Christ on the planet is going to see growth, it's going to come because people are going to start planting.
Yes.
And they're going to start watering. John Osteen said it many times. They said, boy, you built a great church. He said, God sure built a great church. He said, man, you should have seen it before God had it. Or I had it by myself. And the point he made was, he knows God was the one that got him born again. But he said, I'll tell you what grew Lakewood Church. My people wouldn't come to church without bringing sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Not Christians.
Right.
Sinners.
Amen.
They wouldn't show up. And he said, that's why I knew every service I had to give an altar call. At the end of my message, I always had to turn toward the gospel and give an altar call. And it was a time in our church that we never had a service that somebody didn't get born again.
Wow.
Right.
And that's what grew Lakewood Church. You know what grew Lakewood Church? Planting, watering. And God did what?
Gave the increase.
So that's what you and I are here to do, culminate the ages. Amen? I want you to go to Matthew 9. I know I sound a little rough, but I'm just dealing with sinus stuff. I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with it to the degree I'm certainly going after it.
Amen.
Jesus' name is not going to rob me of my voice tonight. So, Matthew chapter 9. So the next question becomes, why are we not planting and watering? I have a fix for that.
Amen. Yes.
I have a fix for all of us.
Yes.
Come on.
I said all of us, including me.
Amen.
Matthew 9:35. You there?
Yes.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What motivated him? What motivated him to do this? Verse 36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. What moved him? What moved him to do what he did? What moved him to press past the times when they were lacking sleep? Tired in body. But couldn't quit. Just kept on going. What moved him to go past all the challenges of all the legal, scholars of the day trying to shut him down and stop him? What moved him? What is it that constantly drove him to keep reaching out to people with the love of God? Compassion did. You know why we're not planting? You know why we're not watering? We're not moved. If we were moved, guess what we'd be doing? I didn't say you're not doing it at all. I'm just saying as a whole, as a church in America and around the world, they clearly aren't as a whole. You're awful quiet. But I want you to get this. Why? Why are we not planting and watering? Something's not moving us. What needs to move us? Compassion does. Compassion there, of course, ties back to the love of God. It's not of the soul realm. This compassion is not soulish, so it's not natural. It's not of the body. It's of the spirit.
Yes.
It's God himself. It's love himself. What motivated Jesus? Compassion did. Notice this. He was moved with compassion for them because they were what? In this case, they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Guess what the Lord wants for people to have? A shepherd. Now I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Not a lot's changed. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We should pray that, but not therefore do that to take the place of our part
right.
of planting and watering.
That's right.
Move with compassion. So as I was entering into the end of last year, praying about this year and about my own life, about what I need to deal with, about my church, this is where God kept bringing me back to. He said, Daryl, the reason people are not planting and watering is because they're not moved. If compassion rose up within them, they couldn't help but do what my compassion would drive them to do. It would move them to do it. It would move them beyond their flesh. It would move them beyond their challenges in the natural. They wouldn't care what people think about them because that compassion would overwhelm them so much that they would literally have to try to force themselves not to be able to share the gospel. Made me think about my natural compassion, not even as strong as God's supernatural compassion. My natural compassion to be a bull rider. It moved me. It moved me to deny everything else in my life. It moved me to spend all of my money on that very thing in my life. It moved me to get beyond times of all kinds of injuries, broken bones, concussions, being knocked out, didn't care. Because I had this natural desire to want to be able to be a bull rider, world champion. And that's why the Lord told me years ago, if you had that kind of desire and passion for me, imagine what you could do for my kingdom.
Amen.
So here's what I love about this. You ready?
Yeah.
God's compassion is not natural. Say that. Put up with my bad voice tonight. God's compassion is not natural. Say it again. You know what it is? It's supernatural. So you know what that means? You can pray for it. On your goal sheet, flip it over. I'm asking you to do this. You don't have to. I'm just asking you because it's in my life this year. On the back of your goal sheet, write this down. Prayers for my life in 2022. Prayers for my life in 2022. You can listen to the prayer and then decide if you want to write it down. Number one, my number one prayer for me, your pastor, in 2022. I've already been praying it before I ever got to this point. God, give me a compassion that I've never had before.
Amen.
And I mean it.
Yes.
I've been moved with compassion at times, but not like Jesus was.
Thank you, Lord.
Not to the degree Jesus was. My number one prayer for 2022 is, God, give me a compassion like I've never had before for the hurting and for the lost.
Amen.
If you're sincere about that prayer, don't think he won't answer it. The moment I started praying that prayer, within a handful of weeks afterward, I told Kathy a little bit about it. And when I was sleeping one night, I had this dream that I was a homeless person. And I was seeing myself trying to find a warm place to sleep at night, trying to find food during the day. Not because I wanted to be homeless. I had no choice. And I woke up and I was just like startled. I was totally startled by this dream. And I was like, oh my God. And then the very next night, I'm not going to be able to do this. We're driving into Denton. There's a lot of homeless people in Denton. And I see this little old man. I know him. I don't know him personally, but I see him all the time. And just looking at him, I started crying. Yeah. I started tearing up. I had to fight tears back. And I said, you're answering my prayer. Because those kind of things, it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to go help every homeless person. But you know what? When you're moved with compassion like Jesus was, when you see hurting and lost people, you can't overlook them.
Right. Amen.
Jesus could not overlook them.
No.
Broke his heart. Should break ours.
Yes.
I believe if you'll pray for this compassion, God will give it to you. Because it's supernatural.
Amen.
It's not natural. When I say give it to you, it's in you, but he'll increase it. We need a passion for the lost and the hurting like we've never had before. Because without that compassion, I can preach till I'm blue in the face and have no voice left and just wear myself out telling you to go witness. And I've done it for 32 years and it doesn't change. You know why? Because without compassion, there's nothing to move you. Without compassion, it just seems like a religious requirement, something we have to do. With compassion, it's not a requirement.
No.
It's a passion.
Yes.
It's a passion of yours.
Yes.
You're passionate about winning the lost. When you're moved with compassion for the lost, you're passionate about winning them.
Yes.
It excites you.
Amen.
You love doing it. And I found out what you're passionate about is what you have a compassion for. If you don't have a compassion for the hurting and the lost, you have no passion to win them. Guess what you're not going to do? Plant and water. If we don't plant and water, guess what's not going to happen? No increase. But thank God it can change. I want to plant and water like I've never planted and watered before. I don't want to do it because I feel like I have to. I don't want to do it because I know it's my duty to do it as a believer. I want to do it because I'm moved with compassion for people that don't know Jesus.
Amen.
That I can't stand the fact that you're sitting here next to me and you don't know my Jesus.
Amen.
And that bothers me.
Amen.
That should bother us.
Because
it bothers God. Does that mean you're going to win all over to the Lord? No. You're going to plant and water. Not all are going to receive what you have to say. But you know what? If you're that passionate, you're going to find people that are ready to be harvested.
Amen.
Without that passion, won't happen. Time and again, Jesus was moved with compassion. We're not being moved by God to do what he's called us to do because we don't have this compassion for the lost. Because if we did, I don't know. I wished I would have found out somehow. I don't know how Osteen got that in his people, but he did. Maybe being a missionary for many years on the mission field before he became a pastor. But he got that instilled in his people, and that's what caused him to bring people to the church. That's what caused him to reach out to the lost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get somebody born again. Most of them aren't going to argue with you going to your church because now they know they're brand new. They're excited. And like me, when I got born again, I wanted to find a church.
Yeah.
And if you're the one that led me to the Lord and you're telling me about your church, yeah, where's it at?
Yeah.
But you can't just walk off and then expect them to show up.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
In some cases, when you're able, you got to do some follow-up.
Yeah.
You may even have to go pick them up. You might have to go get that baby from the hospital and bring it home. Amen? Please make that your number one prayer for 2022. What a difference that'll make in our lives. That what we're passionate about, I've kind of been going through this with God for the last year. You know, why are people not passionate about you? They don't have a compassion for the things he's compassionate about. Number 27, we'll run out of time. On the bottom, the back of the page, the last one. We must look up and ready ourselves for what? His appearing in the clouds. Get in line with the scriptural requirements for this great event.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. One last verse tonight. Turn to Psalms 90. One little last set of verses here in Psalms. Let me give you, I could give you all kinds of points. We touched on some this morning. Things you can do to be ready for that event. I want to simplify it. Can I do that?
Yes.
Psalm 90. I'm going to let the Bible simplify it. Psalm 90. This is a second prayer that you need to be praying. These are my prayers to the Lord for the last days. And I'll give it to you in a minute. Let me read a couple verses to you. You in Psalm 90?
Yes.
Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Why? You don't know how. If we knew how, we wouldn't have to ask him to teach us. Right? Why would you be asking somebody to do something you already know how to do? Teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. How many know if you're walking in wisdom, you're walking in the principal thing? Back up to Psalm 39. Last set of verses. Psalm 39, verse 4. Very similar verses. Lord, make me to know my end. In other words, when you're done in this life, make me to know my end. Not like, can you tell me that exact day? He's not going to tell you. Watch this. What is the measure of my days? That's similar to saying, teach me to number my days. Why? That I may know how frail I am. Frail meaning how little of time I really have. Verse 5, indeed you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. Did you hear that? Every man at his best state, living out the longest life he could live on the planet, to God it's but a vapor of time. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. So in another translation of this, it says, help me understand how brief my earthly existence is. Help me understand. Number 27 again, we need to look up and ready ourselves for his appearing in the clouds. You want to know how to do that? Lord, help me understand how short-lived my life is. Help me understand how short-lived my life is, how short of time I have on this earth. So I start making the most of every day that I'm living. But I believe you got to pray and ask him to show you how brief your life is. Give me an awareness of how really short my time is here on earth. Teach me to number my days. Help me to realize how little time I really have. I think of myself, you know, and where I see myself, if the Lord tarries, I got maybe 24 years left. That ain't much. Well, some people think it's a lot in relationship to when you're younger. Man, I can't wait to be 16. Then you can't wait to be 18, right? Or 21 or whatever. But all of a sudden you start hitting 25, then you're wishing you could go back to 16. Next thing you know, it's like, where did it all go? Can I help you? Wake up and realize that you have a great work, an opportunity to do for God. You're not going to get another shot. Every day that goes by that we miss an opportunity to walk out what God wants us to walk out with, relationship with Him, spending time with Him, getting to know Him, doing His work in the earth. Every day we miss the opportunity to do that, guess what? Can't get it back.
Amen.
You're not going to get another shot. I want to know that I've lived my life to the full in accomplishing what God wanted for me. Not what I wanted. But I was able to touch as many lives as possible, help as many people as possible because of the compassion that moved me to do it. So, these to me are the two most powerful prayers. Ask God for compassion for the lost and hurting in the world like you've never had before. Number two, ask God to help you make the most out of your life for Him every day. Help me, Lord, make the most out of my life for You every day. Make me aware how short my time is so that I don't let another day go by and keep making excuses as to why I don't pray like I should, why I don't talk to God like I should, why I don't get to know Him better like I should. Like I say, I want to, but I just keep making excuses and don't do it. You know why I think we make excuses? We haven't learned to number our days. We haven't learned how valuable every day is and how short time really is when you get right down to it. I mean, if you lived out, you know, one context of the psalm says, you know, God gives us 70, if so, up to 85 years. Some people would say 100. Let's say you live out 100 years. That seems like a long time to most people on the planet. But in the light of all eternity, it's a vapor. How many think it's time to stop making excuses for things we know we want in relationship with God? To be close to Him, to know Him better, walk in the light of the Word, walk in what He wants us to do, experience the power of His glory working through us in the last days, but we just keep talking about it. Remember the old statement? Talk is cheap, right?
Yeah.
Actions are what really matter. I believe that if we'll sincerely pray, God, give me a compassion like I've never had for the lost and hurting of this world, He'll start responding. All of a sudden, it'll start breaking your heart to see people hurting. Now be prepared, because it can be pretty powerful sometimes. Well, I don't know if I want to experience that. Then you don't want to experience what God does. Because that compassion isn't you. That compassion's His love. That's Him. That's His heart for them. And think about this. The more you're moved with compassion, guess who you're getting closer to? God. Because you're experiencing more of what He experiences. And number two, what are you going to do with that compassion? Lord, help me make the most of every day.
Amen.
I'm not going to make any more excuses.
Amen.
Because once that day's over, I can't get it back.
Yes.
And I need to start taking advantage of every day to the best of my ability to walk with God and to walk out what God has for my life. Because I'm not going to get another opportunity.
No.
Amen.
We pray that you are blessed by the message Pastor Baker shared with you today. For more spiritual resources that can help you in your walk with God, or to invite Pastor Baker as a guest speaker, just go to our website at cffchurch.com. You will find additional teachings by video, audio, and printed resources that will be a blessing to you. May God's very best be yours.